Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We are back and we are live. It is UFC 283 presented by RotoWire. Main event? Well, there's two main events. Which one? I'm curious, which one are you guys more excited about? Our co-main, technically, we have Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo. Not one, not two, not three, but for the fourth time, those two will get in the cage. And we're going to crown a new light heavyweight champion, Glover Teixeira, taking on Jamahal Hill. I'm your host of Fight IQ. Sniper MMA. The co-host, the analyst, the important guys, Joe, also goes by Sun Tzu. Everybody knows Joe. And Chris, I keep changing my name. Olsen is Christopian. It's Chris exclamation point. I don't even know what it is, but I'm sure he'll – you got to Fight IQ. Go follow Chris and all his insane stuff on Twitter. It's a good time. He likes to argue with people about anything, so tweet him there. Joe, always giving out Vaseline plays and bets. Go there. And for me, I'm just a regular old MMA tout, boring. I'm not going to do that so much in this show. I'm going to be trying to be the comic relief if you're unfamiliar. Guys, 283, we're back. It's been a little while since I've seen you guys. How you doing?
Good, man. It's like I missed the last one because I was in Vegas. Sorry, Chris. I missed the last one because I was in Vegas, and you had Monk Matician fill in, who did an admirable job. I started out the season pretty well. Could have been a little better, but like I'll take a profit, and I'm excited to be back. Like 15 fights, I think there's some pretty solid dogs. I haven't like finalized lineups yet, but yeah, I do. I got some dogs that I like a lot. Actually,
I'm dog hurting this week, so
I got two, maybe three solid dogs that I like a lot. So
I got one like and two I like. Well, I guess I have to play somebody. That's my dog take.
Okay.
Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I actually, if I'm not mistaken, both of you missed that last.
I did. I had the flu in December for basically all of December. It was December sucked. My birthday's the 6th. I literally woke up with the flu on the 7th. Can anybody in chat beat my fever high score that week, which was 105.7? Can anybody?
Wow.
Anybody top that?
Surprised you're still alive.
I was damn near a hospital trip.
We should say that Sean braved to be here today as well, because as I understand, the flu bug is building back up. So we appreciate
right now,
it.
It's anybody who has kids will understand. It is my daughter's in kindergarten this year, so we're just always kind of sick a whole year. But I'm feeling better today than I was yesterday. So improvement.
Well, that's good. As far as this card goes. Yeah, I think the main event is the main event. This might be a hot take, but I don't think we needed a fourth fight of this.
I agree with you.
I think they got really excited that like, oh, this is going to be like our Gotti Ward, like our legacy fight, like boxing. But I think we could have spread that out a little bit. It's almost like okay, we've seen this already. We know.
Yeah, I actually have a pretty strong take. I have a pretty strong take on the fight.
Well, that's good because I kind of think it's touch and go. But I agree with Joe. I have a couple of serious dogs that I like. I have a couple of lines here that I actually think are flat wrong. So that'll be on the dog side. So that'll be interesting too. And the card, as I've joked before, but maybe never As seriously as I'll say now that this is UFC 283 Dana White's Contender Series. We have a lot of Contender Series alums here because we had a lot of fights break down with injuries and whatnot. And, you know, that makes it a little more interesting because if you get the drop on some of these guys, theoretically, you can have information that most people don't have. But, we'll see which ones are live and which aren't. But as far as the card goes, you know, a lot of opportunities to make money. What else can you ask for?
I can ask for bigger contest sizes on DraftKings. I'm not especially thrilled with what put out there.
Sure.
I know last week was a, you know, there was overlay, which I think screwed us this week, but we will see how it goes. By the way, 283, should mention, is in Brazil, so a lot of Brazilian fighters on this card. And it's always worth noting, you know, Brazil fighter, a non-Brazilian fighter versus a Brazilian fighter. We all know Ulay Marer. That being said, let's get – actually, before we get into the 15 fights, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Daily fantasy, season-long, all the good stuff, all the sports from NFL to soccer to MMA. Go check it out. Now let's talk about fights. Simon Oliveira, 8,600, taking on Daniel Marcos at 7,600. Line on this fight, Oliveira, minus 145, Marcos plus 125. I think some odds value here is coming up on Marcos, and oddly enough, that is probably the one dog I think I'm picking straight up on this card, and it's not even with a ton of There is one more I'm picking straight up on this card, but it's not even a ton of conviction. So somebody help me out here. Do you have a strong take? Joe, let's start with you this week.
I'm on Marcos. This is one of my three dogs that I like. I'm on Marcos here. I think he's more technical. I don't like a lot. I don't like Oliveras a lot. In that respect, and a 15 fight card, if you're looking to get different, I don't think he offers a lot of value at his salary. So as a contrarian play, maybe you wanna go a little bit in that direction, just because I really don't see a lot of value. I see this is Marcos's second fight back. He's not traveling a great deal. I believe he's from Peru. So this is not like, you know, he made his first trip outside of Peru when he went to Vegas. You know, this is his second trip out of Peru, but he's going to another country in South America, so it's not that far. I like Marcos here. I think he's better technically. I agree that there's odds value. I suspect he'll be somewhat popular, which worries me a little bit.
With 30 fighters, though? 30 fighters?
Yeah, probably not. I mean,
yeah.
I know, but you know me. Like, what I like to do is, and again, I am not the – and this is – I'm kind of casting aspersions on myself here. I'm not the tape study guy. Like, I'm not the guy that spends hours upon hours watching tape, right? I'm the guy that listens to the guys who spend all that time watching tape, and I try to filter out the bullshit, right? So that's what I do. Like, so I've got a couple of guys who I listen to who watch a lot of tape, and I kind of filter out what I think makes sense to me logically and apply it to DraftKings. That's how I play. That's how I've always played. I work a full-time job, a lot of hours. Like, I can't spend the time that some people do watching tape. So with that said, I've been seeing Marcos getting a lot of love, a lot of dog love. So I'll leave it at there. I did my own little research. I agree with the takes. I mean, you know, and people who we respect in the industry are on him. So give me Marcos here.
Chris.
Yeah. My take isn't that strong. I think I like Oliveira. Well, if you guys are picking Marcos, I like Oliveira a lot more than you do. But I think I like Oliveira a little bit just because of how active he is as a submission grappler. And I think Marcos will accept clinches a little bit too much. He'll be a little bit more passive. I think Oliveira will probably be the one to push the pace here. If nothing else, he was really active against Tony Gravely. In the submission department, now Gravely fended them all off, and he's a guy who always loses by submission. So if Oliveira couldn't get him, then maybe you doubt that he can get guys at this level, and that's a concern. But if you're looking for the Oliveira reasoning, I would say that you know, submission grapplers score points on DraftKings. Otherwise, I don't hate Marcos as a play, but this could just be stall out if Oliveira can't get it to the floor, and I'll probably have like a little bit of a stay away posture on this one, to be honest, as we start the card.
All right, next fight up, Josiane Nunes, 9,500, taking on Zaira Farn, Fairn, Zyra, Frenchwoman. Nunes minus 520, Zara plus 410. Look, I'm with everybody. I'm on, you know, I think Josiane wins, but of the fighters up in that top tier, she's the worst fighter. 6,700 for Fairn. I think she's my favorite full cash game punt. And I think she is alive for a little bit of ownership. And only because I get what you're saying. I get that was my initial reaction, Joe. But if you start looking at it, who else in the top range are you thinking is going to lose? And then up there, you got Almeida, Andrade, Gilbert Burns, Cody Stamann. You know, that's who's that range. You can make an argument. We'll talk about Rodriguez, Fernanda. And I think you could, in the low nines, but up that high nine range, do you really hate taking a shot at firing in cash games to free up salary or just to do something weird? Like, I'm not saying I'm going to play 30% of her, but I'll mix her in, and I like her in cash games. I think she loses. Anybody who is take two to give one power shot, it makes me nervous. I think she gets it done. I think Fairn is live. Chris.
So I agree with the basic concept that you just laid out there of like, well, you know, you can't take everybody over 9,000, so you have to be a little discerning. My problem is that if I think Nunes wins, let me put it this way. If Fairn loses, I think she does. I think she loses badly because she has quite a bit of that, like the kind of baby giraffe syndrome, I think, where like she just kind of gets stuck and can get crowded. And Nunes is the kind of fighter who can really just jam up on the longer fighter. And all she does is throw power shots. She'll walk through hell to throw power shots. Farron's defense is atrocious, just striking defense. I think it's like 39%. So, you know, that doesn't bode well for somebody who's really powerful in this division. And people in this division don't see that kind of power, you know, that often. So, you know, she might not even be really prepared for what's coming and maybe just fight the way she normally fights. And, you know, I mean, would it surprise you if Fairn got like two knockdowns and a first round finish? Like, I don't think that's totally Nunes got like two knockdowns and a first round finish. I don't think that's totally out of the realm of possibility. So, again, Sean, I understand what you're saying. It's a harder fade for me just because of who the competition is. If it was a little better, somebody I could trust a little more, I would say yeah. But I'm going to have more Nunes, and I'm going to have to figure out, you know, and we'll talk about it as we get up there. I'm going to have to figure out who to jettison there because I will need the salary, but I actually like Nunes a little bit.
Joe, I don't think you need the salary. I don't think you need the salary in cash. I think my cash builds were so easy this week. I don't think you need 6.7K in cash.
We got to talk about this afterwards then.
Especially if you like, you know, want a dog in the main event. You definitely don't need 6.7K in cash. Nunes is minus 190 inside the distance. You look at that on an average slate and you're like, this is going to be the highest owned fighter on the slate. Now, she's not going to be the highest owned fighter in the slate, right? It's probably going to be, for better or worse, you know, Almeida at 9.7K, right? But at minus 190 inside the distance, Brazilian fighter in Brazil, second fight of the night. I think the Brazilian fans are going to be disappointed because their guy is not going to win the first fight. They're going to get a relatively easy winner here. I think Fairn is sayonara or I guess I should say au revoir, you know, after this fight, because I think it's going to be a pretty easy win. Yes, there's all this rhetoric about the size differential, a half a foot in height and, you know, 5 inches in reach. And okay, I get it. If this was a good to above average fighter, I would put more credence in those advantages. Because she's not, I don't. So I like Nunes here. I like her a fair amount. I'm going to be using her a lot. I don't know what ownership's going to be. I probably see myself being slightly over, just because I think Almeida's going to be higher owned and you actually can do more with that extra, what, $300, you know, with Nunes. So I'm on Nunes here. And I don't like Farron much at all.
I did a lineup builder show on my YouTube channel. I know exactly. Now I thought about it and played real quick. I know exactly what, you know, I won't say what your lineup is. I think the chalk lineup, based on what I've heard and everything, I think it's Glover, the co-main event stack, Almeida, Daniel Marcos, and you have just enough money for Johnny Walker.
I'm not stacking.
Okay. And I kind of knew that. That's why I felt like I wasn't giving away your lineup. But I think what I just laid out, that's probably the chalk build.
So just real quickly, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but, you know, my lineup, which won everything last week in cash, I won a 554 man. I won a 215 five man. You know, my lineup that won everything last week had the loser of the Pennington fight.
there was no dogs last week.
Well, that's what made me different. And I was shocked, in all honesty, that I got so many points, you know, and a loss. That's really what pushed me over the top.
All I know is that I was a part of that 71 person train that took down the main.
Nice. And that's what made me different from everybody else, is everybody else who played in cash, very few people played that fight.
Let's move along because we have a ton of fights. Warley Alves, 8,300. Nicholas Dalby at 7,900. A line on this fight right now, Warley Alves is the favorite, -125. Dalby +105. You can go back to any podcast I've done over the last 5, 6, however many years Dalby's been fighting. I don't think I've ever picked the dude, and that's not going to change. Give me Warley Alves. I think he probably finishes Dalby. I do like him in the mid-range for GPPs. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so this line is somewhat suspiciously narrow. I thought it would be a bit wider, which concerns me a bit. And I'm curious to see if it widens out in the next 24 hours. You know, I initially was looking at this and I'm like, you know, Alves is a historic shitter in the apple pie, to you know, paraphrase our good friend Cody Safdick. He's been a big favorite and choked in the past. And maybe that's what's keeping some money off him. That and the fact that I don't believe he's fought in 18 months. So I'm initially looking at this fight and I'm like, you know, I'm plugging in Dalby in some lineups. And then I'm thinking about it and I'm like, man, he was fortunate to win that last fight. Right? I think it was a bad decision. Right? So I'm going to go Alves here. I'm not quite sure why the line is so narrow. I want to see if it widens out. As I said, I do like Alves here. I am concerned, you know, of the based on the fact that he hasn't fought in so long. On the positive side, it's obviously in Brazil. So, you know, coming off a layoff, you want to be in Brazil. You know, quick note in general, I think the only fighter that missed weight was Anthony Smith, who was a backup fighter for the main event. Yep. So I think we're good across the board. I was a little concerned about maybe him making weight. So I'm going to pick Alves here. I don't think it's that, you know, outrageous a pick, but I'm really surprised at the line.
Remember the last time out, everybody, including myself, picked against Alves, and he starched Lazez. Like, that was rough. Chris, who you got?
So I agree 100% with Joe. It always scares me when I really like something and I think it should be wider, and everybody else is on it with me. Because I feel like the mush isn't coming. But I have to pick Alves here. I don't know. Like, unless Alves gasses out, he's better than Dalby literally everywhere. Dalby is just sort of a pocket boxer, outfighter who likes to stay at range. And, you know, Alves more explosive, better kicking, better jiu-jitsu. Wrestling might not be as good, but why would he want to take Alves to the ground anyway? I'm taking Warley Alves here. I think a finish might materialize too. I don't think he should get tired because I feel like he should be controlling the fight. If he does get tired, he might guess and Dalby might win. But I got to pick Alves here. I just think he's better everywhere.
All right, let's go next fight up. I'm talking about Terrence McKinney, 8,500. Taking on the first, the Bonfim brothers, Ismael Bonfim at 7,700. Line on this fight, McKinney -120, Bonfim +100. Virtual coin toss, fight doesn't go to decision, -1,100. Woo, fight won't start round two, -165. Seems like a fight we need to be jamming into DraftKings lineups if we're that heavily expecting a first round finish. I'm on the McKinney side, but it's close, but I do lean McKinney. Bonfim, is somebody you have to mix in GPPs, because McKinney is just going to blow his load in the first round. I do think sneakily, I think McKinney's grappling will play a factor here. That's why he is my pick. I think everyone's thinking stand and bang. McKinney gets takedowns too. So that's my pick for this fight, close fight, GPP fight. Chris, you're first.
Yeah, I'm on McKinney too, and I agree about the grappling. It is scary because if he doesn't finish you in that first 3 minutes, he's going to lose. As we saw in the Drew Dober fight, I mean, Drew Dober didn't really do anything except
Drew
for...
Drew Dober's a beast. Don't you talk about Dober like that.
First, Drew Dober, it's like, it's almost like he's cheating. Like his head is, it's like the Yoel Romero thing where his head is fused to his neck. And so it doesn't, I mean, he just takes every shot and it's not even fair. Justice for Bobby Green. But anyway, I think that I do agree with you that McKinney is the play here. You have to have both. I think that the pace McKinney keeps could swallow him up, as it does so many other fighters. But I agree that you have to mix them in, but this is going to be a one-round fight, and either McKinney finishes or he doesn't and gets finished. I'm going to flip the coin to heads. I think McKinney finishes. He's the pick here.
Joe?
Two reasons, one technical, one narrative driven, why I am pretty heavy on the underdog in this fight. This is the better of the two, in my opinion. Bonathan Brothers fighting on the
really?
Card. Yeah, it's the it's
I like the
first,
other one better.
I think this is the better, personally. It's the first fight, so it's interesting. And you know, I always, whenever I plagiarize someone, I like to give them credit first. So, Santino DeFranco, he's got his own podcast. You know, Fight Ready, great camp, hot camp. He does not allow Brothers to fight on the same card if he's training Brothers. And the reason is because it's not so much for the first fight. It's the second fight. The brother gets so invested in the one brother that's fighting that it's like a dual adrenaline dump. So aside from that, I think this is the better fighter. I think he's more technical. I think he's obviously got better cardio than McKinney. This is McKinney, I believe, this is his first time out of the U.S. And he is traveling to Brazil to fight in a different time zone, right, in front of a hostile crowd against a very popular local fighter who I think is technically superior in many ways. Really good boxer. I don't think he is a fish out of water on his back. And I think McKinney is going to adrenaline dump badly. Not to say there's not risk here, and why I will have some shares of McKinney. This could end really badly for him in the first couple of minutes, meaning Bonnie. But I like Bonnie here. I like him a lot. And again, there are both, you know, technical and narrative reasons why I see him winning this fight. Give me Bonnie.
Chris, did you go first for this one?
Yeah, you went already.
I did.
Okay. I'm
glad to see you were paying attention to
me. Yeah, you and Chris talked.
It was two against one.
In one ear, out the other. Cody Stamen, 9,200, taking on Luan Lacerda, 7,000, his price. Stamen minus 365, Lacerda plus 300. I like Stamen. I think he wins. I'm worried about his scoring potential, but I'm going to keep it really simple for my breakdown in the interest of time. I do think Stamen wins. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, I think this is like a, you know, thank you for being a company man fight for Stamen. I think he should win this fight pretty easily. My only concern is I'm not really sure how he finished it. You know, I think the UFC wants to get him two wins in a row. They gift wrapped Eddie Wineland for him. I don't know if he gets the finish here. That's my concern. You know, like before fighting Wineland, he fought Saeed Nurmagomedov, Murab, and Jimmy Rivera. Not exactly easy fighters, you know, and took three L's. I think this is the second gimme fight for Stamen here. I don't know how good Luan is. He's 12-1, which so on the surface, you know, his record is not that bad, but he's also 30 years old. You know, he's a Nuevo Uniao fighter, which is a camp that, you know, completely fell off a cliff once USADA came into play. So, look, he's got a decent ground game, but he's not going to out-wrestle Cody Stamen. So I like Stamen here. My concern is, since this is a DraftKings-oriented show, that I don't know how much I like Cody for DraftKings purposes. I mean, is he going to score at his price point, I'm probably gonna have, or I know I'm gonna have, the lowest amount of Cody of fighters in that range for that reason. But I like Cody to win. I like him to win pretty dominantly. I'm just not confident that he's gonna get a quick decision.
Agreed. I think we all agree, but Chris, anything to add?
Well, I think you saw the smile creep across my face. I haven't had one of these in a while where I'm super against the norm. But Joe, all
right, you still have like 2 to 3 minutes. I'm cutting you off.
Joe, I don't know how Cody Stamann wins either, and that's why I'm picking Lacerda.
Wow.
Lacerda, I think 10 wins out of those 12 are submissions. Basically, that negates the wrestling game of Cody Stamann in my mind. He's not going to be on the ground here. And if he's not going to be on the ground, Lacerda is a very decent kickboxer. He's very aggressive. And when push comes to shove, I always pick the kickboxer against the boxer. I think, you know, just being like a scrappy wrestle boxer has its limits at bantamweight. I think he's already hit him. Not to say that Lacerda is obviously the best fighter he's faced. You guys list them off, but not just Nova Inyao, but Lacerda was a direct training partner of Aldo. He has a story about taking a picture with him in the cage I think it was the second Mendez fight. So, you know, he's been in the cage getting his licks in for a long time. I think he's going to show something here. I think he's a good fighter, and I think him taking away Stamann's tools is going to pay dividends. So this is my first dog, and I guess it's a big one. I'm taking Lacerda.
Look, I don't actually – I wanted to make fun of you, but I actually don't hate the pick. I mean, I was just – while you were giving your diatribe on Lacerda, I was looking at the records of the guys he beat in LFA, and they weren't half bad. Like, there weren't – like, at least of late, there weren't a lot of these, like 0-5 or 2-3. There were – you know, the records were pretty good. Like, I think the last fight he won in LFA, the guy was 11-1. So I don't hate it. I mean, I may need to throw a few shares of the dog here. Again, he was already the guy I liked the least at that upper price point. So I may need to actually now throw a few lineups in with Lacerda. So I don't hate the take. I can't really find myself making.
Well, I mean, don't worry. I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to make fun of me going forward.
That's actually my problem.
I mean, I didn't comment on the beard. I was going to kind of go there, but no. Yeah.
There's so many favorites I like, and it means dogs I want to be under on, and I'm not playing a ton of Stamann for the reasons you guys mentioned, so I naturally have some Lacerda. I'm hoping right now I'll dip into the stuff I have behind the paywall real quick just for you guys on this show. Right now my plan is 17% Luan Lacerda. So I'm hoping I'm actually a little over with that number. That's my hope.
Since Joe gave me some public love, I'll do this right now. You got a fan in the audience there, Joe.
Joe is the man. Joe is a celebrity. I was talking to somebody last night.
He is.
And people, I'm lucky enough where some people know who I am. It's usually online. Like, and I'm not like any type of celebrity in this space. I'm like the 15th biggest name. But go someplace where you go to a fight with Joe, and people are like, "Son, Joe." Ah. Hey, Sniper. I'm like, what the f*** just happened?
And it's, yeah, I wish it's I could say that wasn't times. True, but it is.
Multiple times. It's like Joe.
Yeah, now I just need like some of our female fight fans. I gave a shout out on New Year's to the women of MMA, and I'm not talking about professional fighters. I'm talking about like the cool group of females that actually, you know, follow MMA like religiously. I'm like, holy shit. Like, you know, this is really, really cool. You know, like they just get so into the fight. So like when I get recognized by one of them, I'll know I've truly hit like elite status.
That's when you've made it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But thank you for that.
Next fight. You know what, Joe, you know, you're talking about women's MMA all the time, and we've made jokes about attractive fighters because we're disgusting pig men. Like it just kind of, sometimes they slip out, and Joe is coined the phrase Vaseline fight. I think this is a Vaseline fight. The amount of sweat and nastiness we're going to see with Shamil Abdurakhimov taking on Jailton Almeida. It is Almeida's 9,700. Abdurakhimov is 6,500. A line on this fight. Almeida's minus a billion or 1,000, actually. Come back on Abdurakhimov plus 675. Why did I give it that big buildup? Because this fight breakdown, if anybody takes more than a minute, kicking you off the show. Almeida should win. Abdurakhimov is here to get smashed unless he lands a heavyweight bomb. But yeah, the issue is Almeida's price tag is dumb. So if you can fit him, go for it. If not, he's not a must-have because 9,700 is dumb. So Abdurakhimov, see you, bud. Almeida should win this fight. Joe.
So the only thing I'll say about the underdog here is that in the winter without a coat, he can maintain a 97-degree body temperature. I'll kind of leave it at that, and I will take Almeida to win this fight. He's going to be highly owned. My only concern here is at 9.7K, if he doesn't get any peripheral stats, meaning like let's say he gets one knockdown and he doesn't finish the guy in the first minute, right? We're looking at 100 points with a couple of significant strikes. That might not be enough on this card. So that is my only concern. And the fact that he's likely going to be the highest priced, the highest owned fighter.
That means you have to have a few underdogs mixed in, or just even if he scores 120, it won't be enough if we don't get $2.
Yeah, and that is really my concern here, is that there's not going to be peripheral stats here for him. So, that's my concern, although I can't find a way for him not to win.
I mean, if anybody can, it'd be Chris. Chris?
True that.
This is beyond even my power. I want Almeida to get a real fight. That's what I want. Now, what's been happening recently, just speaking to the scoring, is he's been getting takedown, guy'll get up, takedown, guy'll get up, takedown, guy'll get up. He will then smash them because they get tired. And this will happen in the first round. So it's been like two or three takedowns in the first round, ground and pound, a little bit of control time, and the first round finish. That could happen here too. I mean, Derek Lewis did it. If Derek Lewis did it, Yelena Almeida can do it. I think I actually think he comes through here. If you can fit him, I do like him. If people stay away from him for that reason, I get it. But I'm gonna have him. He's averaging 118 in his three fights. I think he gets it done here again. I don't think Shamil has anything for him whatsoever. The pick is Almeida.
Right, next fight up, the other Bonfim brother, the one I think is a little better, Gabriel Bonfim, 8,800, taking on Munir Lazez at 7,400. Bonfim minus 165, Lazez plus 140. I actually don't like this fight for DraftKings. I think it falls in a weird range. I don't see a ton of upside. I think Bonfim wins a striking match, and we'll move on here. Lazez, I don't know. I don't like this fight. I think there's – Lazez ends up on the optimal. He squeaks by a dirty win, and no other dog wins. Like, that's how Lazez finds his way there. I don't think he's going to finish Bonfim. I don't see a big score in the making for him. So give me the other Bonfim brother here as the favorite, but I don't have a ton of him. Chris, who you got?
So I like Lazez. I don't know why we're off of him all of a sudden. I think, he's still a nice kickboxer. He can mix in his wrestling. He's very powerful. Bonfim I like. I like his body work. I like that he's aggressive, but I think that Lazez is the more seasoned striker here. He's probably the better wrestler as well. If they get down to the floor, that'll be interesting from a jiu-jitsu perspective. But all things considered, I still like Lazez's skill set, and I think if people are overlooking him, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we were all just amazed that he was the next best thing. And then, he gets finished once, and then we have nothing to do with him. But I still like him. I still think he's a quality fighter. I'm picking Lazez.
Joe.
Yeah, I'm with Chris here. I'm on Lazez as well. This is another dog that I like. So I think he's got a real shot here. I see him winning a decision, which could be enough, with his price, with his salary at, what is it, 7.5? Where is he? Where's Lazez? Here he is. He is at 7.4. Yeah, I at 7.4 against a debuting fighter, I definitely like him. Experience, I think he's fought as good, if not better, competition. So I'm going to say he's fought better competition. So give me Lazez here.
All right, let's go next fight up. Let's talk about Thiago Moises, 9,000, take on Melquizel Costa, 7,200. Moises minus 365, come back on Costa plus 300. I actually don't hate Costa as a fighter, just don't think this is the spot. I'm on Moises. I think he probably – I like the what was the prop here? Moises wins by submission plus 180. Really interesting to me. So yeah, that's my play here. But Costa, I said I'm dog light. He's one I can mix in a little bit again because I don't know if Moises gets that submission early. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same camp. I like Moises here. I just don't know how he's going to win. You know, so I'm, you know, given all the other options, I'm not sure. I mean, I'll probably have slightly more Moises than Stamen. But other than that, he's not like one of my favorite plays in the upper tier. Although if he wins this fight and gets a lot of control time and ultimately gets a submission, I can certainly see him scoring well. It's just I'm not as confident of that as I am of other spots on this slate. So I'll take Moises here. I'm not sure what my ownership is going to be, but give me Moises.
Chris, sorry.
Yeah, I don't hate Costa either. In fact, I don't hate him so much that I'm actually picking him here. In fact, I like more dogs than I originally thought. I had to stop and think about it. But look, Moises has gotten better with his boxing. But again, I like kickboxing better, and I think that Costa is a pretty good and powerful and accurate kickboxer and pressures well. I don't think that Moises will just be able to use his jiu-jitsu here. I think Costa has shown himself to be pretty competent on the ground as well. So it'll be interesting when they get there. I don't think it's an auto sub, which is another reason why I'm picking him, because if I did think that, then that would be a path for him. I don't. And because I don't really see a path for him to win. So I'm on Costa.
All right. Not the craziest thing you've ever said. So I'm just gonna move along. Next fight up, we're gonna talk about Gregory Rodriguez, RoboCop 9100, taking on Bruno Fajeda at 7100. Line on this fight: Rodriguez -305. Comeback on Bruno +255. I mean, we have to talk about Bruno. Look, I don't hate him. I'm picking RoboCop, but any again at that weight class, anybody who likes to get in wars and block punches with their face. Sure, everybody's live. My pick is Rodriguez, but Ferreira is for sure a dog to mix in your GPPs. The pick is RoboCop, though, especially Bruno on short notice. But that fight style, similar to McKinney. Anything can happen, man. And he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I'm picking RoboCop, too. And I'm gonna push back ever so slightly and say that I think his defense has gotten a little better. Since the Contender Series.
That's like somebody is constantly driving around at 140 miles an hour and they run out of gas and you're like, oh, but at least he's slowing down.
When's the last time he really got hurt? I mean, I guess that the fight against Park.
I don't know when he had the vagina on his head last fight.
Oh, okay. But he fought through that. So that is, he's tough
I'm
enough.
I'm saying anybody who's willing to constantly wade into the wars at 185 and above is just dangerous. It's dangerous. That's my only point.
The reason why I don't think it's that dangerous is because I think Fajeda is just too sloppy as a striker. And I think RoboCop is definitely gotten better as a counter striker. And I think very powerful. I think Fajeda can eat one on the way in. He's got the jiu-jitsu to rely on. I wish he would wrestle more. He does not. I still think that if he takes a shot, he'll be tough enough to eat it. But I think Fajeda is just, you know, too reckless as a striker. I don't think he's going to hit him clean as much as you imagine that he might. So my pick is RoboCop.
Joe.
RoboCop. My only concern is fight IQ. That's it. I'm not really.
That's my point. That's my point. Yeah. You went into these wars, man. Like a big sloppy right hand hits you. I don't know.
You guys worry too much. RoboCop.
You stayed in there with Fajardo and let him swing wildly, and you'd be not concerned. All right, next fight up.
No.
Next fight up, Ihor Poteria, 8,900, taking on Shogun Hua at 7,300. Line on this fight. Poteria is currently -205. Shogun +175. Fight doesn't go to decision. -280. So we're looking at, you know, probably another finish here. This is Shogun's last fight, the legend. I was telling Chris before the start, I hope Shogun is beyond juicing. And Daniel Levy said that in Best Fight Picks, like, I'm going to plagiarize. I got to give him a credit. I do hope he's juiced out of his mind. I want to see him go out on a high note. And it's not like he's getting, you know, like the OSP fight being a split decision. Like, I was ready to write him off after the Paul Craig tapping the strikes and the Nogueira. Like, I was like, all right, we're probably done here. But one more go around against Ihor Poteria, whose record, I guess they say it's 27 and it's, what is it? They say it's not 27, 18-3. And this is the guy you dig into that record, man. As few as 5 fights ago, he was fighting 0-3 guys. And 6 fights ago, no record. And then 17-18, 1-9. Like, really limited stuff. Now, he got a real, you know, contender on the contender series and then lost to Nikolai Negomariano, who I can't get that guy right. If Shogun was ever going to upset somebody, this is probably the spot. I think Ihor is kind of a fraud. So it's the ghost of the fighter. And I like ghost of fighters. See, I am Team Cerrone. So it's the ghost of a fighter against a fraud. And who wins? Give me the ghost of a fighter fighting, hopefully on steroids in front of his home crowd as an underdog. Could anything happen? Sure. Could Shogun be knocked out and face down in the first 15 seconds? Yeah, probably, because Ihor fights like a crazy madman because he sucks. So I'm going to say Shogun survives it, and maybe some of the Brazilian fans jump in and kick Ihor's ass for him. Give me Shogun. Joe.
I don't know, man. I heard Shogun got injured skipping rope. I'm a narrative guy, so I should really like Shogun here for all the points that you made and Daniel Levy made, and I should really be on Shogun here, and I might, for that reason, throw a few shares of him in here. I'm not going to pick him to win, but like, I'm not endorsing playing the other guy either. I think let's wait to see how the next 24 hours affects the betting lines. But I'll pick the other guy here, and I'll say you should probably have more Shogun in GPPs than the other guy for all the narrative reasons that Sean mentioned.
Chris.
Yeah, I don't know how to call this fight with any confidence. I mean, Shogun did okay against OSP. Everybody does okay against OSP for at least a round. That's in the contract when you sign it to fight. Like, you're going to have a good, like, first round at least, and then we see what you do from there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Ihor either. You know, he's got a decent kicking game. I don't exactly know. See, the problem is I don't know what kind of Shogun we're going to get. If we get a Shogun that's going to advance and really try to take it to him, then, yeah, I mean, maybe he could do something similar to what Negomariano did and just sort of whittle him down. But this is Shogun we're talking about, and he's had cardio issues for years before he was in his, you know, 40s and ready to retire. So if anything, I would say that maybe I'm going to play this one a little lighter because – in the grand tradition of fighters, you know, aging out of the sport and going into their last bout, he might be a little hesitant to pull the trigger, and we might get a little bit of a staring match. So, and a fight where everybody's going to be on the inside the distance prop, and therefore take one of these fighters. Maybe I'll play it a little lighter. I guess I'm just going to take Ihor because I don't know that I can trust Shogun, and maybe Ihor just wins like the worst. But you know what? Maybe he wouldn't win a decision in Brazil if it was that close. You know what? I'll take Shogun. Whatever.
Yeah. All I know is that in his last six fights, Shogun's got 2 third round finishes. How about that?
Ah. All right.
Fuck your gas tank. Good start.
I mean, the only reason I'm taking it is because if it comes to a greasy decision, he's not losing it in Brazil. That just occurred to me. So
I always love looking at records and seeing James Tahuna because that's Joe's boy.
Of the Joe's thing, yeah. So all right. Yeah. So my pick is Shogun, but I'm not sure where I am in the fight. Full disclosure, and I'll probably be a little lighter on.
All All right, main card time. Johnny Walker, 8,700. Paul Craig, 7,500. Line on this fight. Johnny Walker is minus 190. Craig is plus 160. I had a video on my YouTube channel about this fight. I do think that Johnny Walker wins here. I think Paul Craig, every second at range, is a problem. I think Johnny Walker is strong enough on top to not get submitted. I mean, in theory, working with John Kavanaugh, one thing you should improve on would be your BJJ. So I think he'll be okay there. We see the jumping knees, but I really honestly see another knee knockout. Like Paul Craig trying to get this fight to the ground however he can, and then Walker landing the knee and putting him out. Like every second standing up is a problem. I just, you're relying on Paul Craig to catch a submission off his back. I don't see it. Give me Johnny Walker. Chris, who you got?
So we are on very opposite sides of this. I actually don't understand why Johnny Walker is a favorite here.
You're out of your mind.
No, and listen, look, here's the problem, right? Everybody picking Johnny Walker in this fight still thinks Johnny Walker is Johnny Walker 4 years ago. That's not like you just told me flying knee. When was the last time you saw explosive offense from Johnny Walker in the last 4 years?
When's the last time he fought a guy who's going to sit there and let him knee their head into next century?
Well, what do you mean he fought? I mean, I know that he just beat Iwan Kutalaba, but Kutalaba was diving haphazardly at his legs every second. If ever there was a time to throw a flying knee, I mean, look, he subbed
that was, but that was in fairness. The knockout he had against Jamal Hill was the fight before that. It's going to take you a little bit to shake some of that rust off and get comfortable again.
Has he shown you that he's comfortable? He subbed Kutalaba after Kutalaba took him down a bunch of times.
I'm pretty sure Joe would be comfortable on his feet against Paul Craig.
Well, but look, all I'm saying is that we haven't seen that guy. And I know you're thinking, well, it's Paul Craig, so he can still do it. But like, a tentative fighter is a tentative fighter, and he's a tentative fighter now. I think that Paul Craig is going to get him to the ground here. And I think that once he does, look, the thing about longer fighters is it can actually be easier to submit them because, you know, their limbs are just flopping out there. They're there to be taken. So, can he knock him out? Obviously, right? But you can't take a fight like the Uzdemir fight and transpose it to this because Uzdemir's always had lights out takedown defense. And Johnny Walker doesn't really have lights out anything anymore. I'm just saying I don't know how you can trust him other than hatred of Paul Craig, which is weird because over and over again he's shown you that he can walk through fire if he has to and go get these things. So, yeah, I'm on Paul Craig here. Johnny Walker would have had to show me something before this, and he hasn't. And so I can't take him at favorite odds. I think it's nuts to take him at favorite odds. I really do. My pick is Paul Craig.
Joe?
Yeah, so I actually see both sides here. You know, there's maybe a little bit of recency bias on Johnny Walker getting that win against Kutalaba, you know, especially by sub. But Kutalaba had just horrible fight IQ there. You know, training at SBG with Kavanaugh, he's definitely reined in some of the wildness of Johnny Walker. You know, we know what Paul Craig is. I mean, he is not going to, you know, I think the last person he beat up in a standing affair was Shogun. You know, so he's got to get the fight to the ground. I am going to tentatively pick Walker in Brazil here just because. But I don't like I see a lot of love for Walker here. And I'm like you, Chris. I don't get even though I'm picking Walker to win. I don't get the unabated love here where they're calling him a parlay piece. Like,
doesn't make any sense.
Do you really have enough confidence in Johnny Walker to make him a parlay piece? Like, I don't really see that. So I'm going to tentatively pick Walker. I'll have some of them in my lineups. I think Craig at 7.5 is a good value here. And, you know, I'll definitely have some shares of him. But I'll pick Walker.
Man, Joe coming to my rescue this week. I love it.
Yeah, I know. How about that?
You guys. You're
making good points. I'm frustrated.
He's had a month to prepare. Anyway, next fight. Jessica Andrade, 9,400. Lauren Murphy, lucky Lauren Murphy, 6,800. Line on this fight, Andrade, minus 475. Murphy's plus 380. Murphy needs to get lucky again. I don't see how she wins this fight. Andrade all day by kind of however she wants. Joe?
Yeah, I love Andrade here. I mean, Murphy, lucky is a great nickname for her because of the, you know, the very fortuitous judging and giving her those split decisions. And she owes the judges the fact that she got a title fight, because otherwise, you know, look, I admire her. You know, she's definitely has this great narrative around her. She's 39 years old. I can't imagine she's going to have that many more fights, but like, she really should have lost the fight against Wood. She should have lost the fight against Andrea Lee.
The Joanne Wood fight was bullshit.
Bad. You know, like, you know, and then, you know, look, I'll also give her credit for lasting four rounds with Val. She's tough. You know, I think she's going to have to take a similar beating, you know, with Andrade. But again, let's look at that Val fight. You know, she was, you know, several years younger, and now she's, you know, several years older, and she's not like trending in the right direction age-wise. So I like Andrade here. I think she's a bulldog. I've always been a huge Andrade fan, especially at, you know, look, no issues making weight, right? She's fought at 115. I think she has no issues at 125 here. I think she's just gonna brutalize Murphy. She could win it any way she wants. Murphy is tough, which actually can work in our favor from a DraftKings perspective, in that, you know, it might take more than one knockdown, and definitely more than one takedown. So we could get some points here, depending on how long the fight goes. So give me Andrade here. I like her quite a bit.
Chris?
This take might be stronger than my Almeida take. I don't know. Like, Lauren Murphy, this is just her being a victim of her own success here. I don't know what she can do to win. She's not going to be able to stop the aggression. She's not going to be able to stop the power. She's not going to be able to stop the takedowns. She hits way harder. Lauren Murphy is like, this. She tries to work her way into every fight with her boxing. You're just not going to have time to do that. This would be more shocking to me than if Shamil won. I don't see any path for Lauren Murphy whatsoever. I think Almeida gets a knockout. I think he gets a knockout, but I think Andrade gets a knockout, and I think she's perfect for everywhere on drafting. So pick is Andrade.
Agree. Next fight, Gilbert Burns, 9,300. Neil Magny, 6,900. Burns is currently at -460. Magny +370. Yeah, as much as I've always said, Neil Magny's is underrated. It's a bad matchup for him. Burns probably takes him down and submits him. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, better grapplers than him have always been a nightmare for him. He's weird. If he's a better grappler than you, he can destroy you as a grappler. If you're better than him, you're just going to kill him, just like RDA did. And the reach advantage, obviously, but Gilbert Burns is going to close that distance. He could probably get a knockout if he wanted to. But I think he's going to go the wrestling route. I think he's going to go the jiu-jitsu route. My pick is Gilbert Burns. This is another easy one for me, as reflected in the line.
Joe?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything Chris said there. You know, the only time I've ever really bet Magny is when a fight is at elevation and his opponent has no cardio. Like, that's the time to bet Neil Magny. This is not one of those circumstances. You know, like Burns, like I was super impressed with how he fought Kamaev. So give me Burns here. I think this is a pretty easy fight. I like Burns a fair amount. I will have a lot of him in my lineup. So give me Burns.
All right. Co-main event time. Davison Figueiredo, 8,200. Brandon Moreno, 8,000. Line on this fight. Oh, this one jumped around. Where'd it go? What are you doing, best fight odds? All the way down here. Moreno's the favorite now, -125. Figueiredo +105. I like the reverse odds value, and I like the dog money on Figueiredo. He's my preferred play. Look, they're 1-1-1. I get it. Plenty of tape to watch. Over the course of all those rounds, I'm more impressed with Figueiredo. By the way, Figueiredo wins the first fight, if not for the point deduction. So, I get it was a foul. You have to count a foul. But to me, I think Figueiredo wins this fight more times than not. My actual concern is some of the late rounds and the cardio, because I do think the cut for him is too big. I'd like to see him at 135, but it's a guy I think who's better anyway, and they're in Brazil. Figueiredo is my pick. Chris, Joe, this is your fight. Who you got?
So I did not get a chance to watch. I haven't seen Ryan's yet. I heard a rumor that Figueiredo was heavy. But, you know, unless someone, you know, chimes in and chat and says that he looked like death warmed over during weigh-ins, he obviously made weight because everybody did. So I liked Figueiredo before that. I like him now. I'm not sure I understand the odds movement. You know, McLovin is the more technical fighter here, but I like Figgy. I like him a fair amount. I expect to have him liberally in my lineups.
Chris?
So as someone who doesn't actually care what happens at weigh-ins, as long as they make it because they can rehydrate, let me say that I saw a picture and he didn't look good. He looked like a ghost. But again, you know, rehydration, I don't really base my fight picks on that. But if anybody was interested, he did not look good at weigh-ins. But having said that, I'm picking Moreno. I think it's razor close. With its razor close, I have to pick the skill-based fighter. I think Moreno is a better boxer. I think Moreno is more athletic. I think Moreno has more I don't want to say more tools. I guess I would say more tools because, you know, better footwork as well. Figueiredo, obviously, with the power and, can also grapple. But I think we saw Moreno really scramble a lot from bottom position. And look, I just think he's the better fighter. And I'm going to pick the skills here in a close fight. So my pick is Moreno.
All right, let's talk about the main event. Jamahal Hill, 8,400. Glover Teixeira, 7,800. Line on this fight is currently... back to where I was. -140 for Hill. Teixeira +120. Look, I'm on the side of Hill. I'm a big believer in the accumulation of damage in a career. Before Glover Teixeira's... The start of... Joe, do you know what the start of Glover Teixeira's run to the title was? On the top of your head?
Let's take a look.
I'll give you a hint. We were there.
Oh, really?
It was the MSG. Fight against Carl. It was Carl Roberson, where he was knocked out and came back to life.
Oh, Barclays. Barclays, yeah.
Barclays, yeah. Sorry, Barclays. It was in the city. He gets hurt a lot. He gets in these wars. I know, and he was just in a war with Prochaska, and I know he survived it somehow. But again, it's just more damage he's taken. And Jamahal Hill, you know, when he hits people, I'm sorry. I see the power. I saw it against Jimmy Crute. I've seen it other places. Like, I'm just not convinced that Glover can eat a shot from Jamahal Hill. If he gets to fight to the ground, I get it. He's going to hurt Hill down there. This is a big upside fight. I'm not saying Glover's not live. I've seen a lot of love for Glover. I'm just on the Jamahal Hill side for accumulation of damage. I think at some point, Teixeira is going, you know, he's not the type of guy to just go out and shoot a takedown immediately. He usually is on the feet for a little bit. And I think he gets hit early. I just think that's going to be it. So, and I guess it's a little bit of bias in my pick, and that at the start of the year for MMA Play 365, before this fight was announced, because this is a late, like, this was, we picked our champions, who was going to be the champion. It's a New Year's thing at the end of 2023. And for light heavyweight, I picked Jamahal Hill. I didn't think I was going to get a title shot in February, but here we are. So there's no way I'm not going to pick him here. I really think without Prochaska in this division, Jamahal Hill can be the guy for a little bit. I think Hill hurt Anthony Smith too, because Anthony Smith likes to be in the wars. So give me Hill. Glover is live though, for all the reasons I kind of hit on. That's my take on this one. And I don't like this fight in cash games on either side. Like, it's sketchy, and unfortunately you land there in so many builds that I might be forced to take Hill and forced to take one of them, because I feel like the mid-range main event, you end up there more than I want to. So that's my take on this. Who's first? I think this is Chris. You're going first in the main event, correct?
Yeah. Well, your pick makes sense. Now, if I picked a guy to be champion, he has a title fight. I would pick him too. I just saying, but look, we've been getting favorable lines on Glover is old and washed up for at least the last 4 years. Since
he keeps getting hurt in these fights and not getting finished, like how many times?
Since the Gustafson fight, oh, that was it, because that wasn't long after the Rumble Johnson fight. So that was kind of back-to-back, and everybody was like, oh, that's it. Since then, he's won 7 of his last 9, plus a title. He's gotten hurt in, like, 1 out of every 2 fights from there. Got hurt really bad against Roberson. Got hurt really bad against Thiago Santos. Got hurt really bad against a whole slew of other people I'm probably forgetting. I don't see any reason why
he shouldn't be able to. Jan had him really bad hurt in the first round, didn't he, if I'm remembering right?
Probably. I don't remember, but
I feel like I'm not 100% sure. I feel like every time I close my eyes, I see Teixeira getting rocked, and then I open my eyes, then I close them again, and he's getting a submission. Like that's the whole.
Well, I mean, I the only thing I would really question on your take is why you think you wouldn't be able to take a shot when he's taking one from everybody else.
You can only do it for so long. I'm extrapolating a little bit, and I'm a believer in Jamal Hill's power.
Well, there you go. But I think he'll be fine if he has to weather a little bit. Now, within reason, I mean, if Jamal Hill really starts to go off on him, he could obviously stop this fight with strikes. But the one piece here is inside of a minute, inside of 30 seconds, my friend and yours, Paul Craig, had him in a tie-up and dragged him to the ground. Now, yep. Glover isn't really the guard-pulling type. That's not really what he does. But 6 takedowns against Thiago Santos. Taken down 6 times. Thiago Santos had never taken anyone down more than 3 times in his entire career. That's not what he does. So if you put all that together, man, I'm having a hard time picking Hill. He can do this, sure. There's just too much going against him. And if Paul Craig can break his arm, then Glover Teixeira can break whatever he wants. So my pick is Glover.
If he gets it down there, Glover will take a body part home. Agreed.
Yeah.
But you have to believe in a guy who he's going to get that kind of tattoo on him. He's got to have crazy power. Jamal Hill's the worst tattoo in MMA. I hate them thing. Like,
thumbs up thing?
Yeah. I think it's the worst tattoo out there. It's bad.
But yeah, so my pick is Glover. There's always a risk that he gets hurt, but there's just too much going for him here. Glover all the way.
Joe, bring us home.
Yeah, I'm on Glover here. It's not without risk, to Chris's point. I'm going to get nervous in the beginning, but I do think if Glover gets one takedown, he could end it. He's that good on the ground, and it's in Brazil, and I have to believe that training with Michel Pereira can only help Glover as it relates to this fight. So, look, I'm going to have shares of Hill. And honestly, when I first looked at this, I have this process where I like to build a lineup like right off the cuff without doing any studying as soon as salaries drop. And my first lineup had Hill in it. So I'm going to definitely play some Hill here. And I think everybody should, because he has the ability, in all honesty, to put up 125. That's his ceiling, right? He could put up 125, right? He could get that early KO, knockdown, 25-point bonus. You got to have shares of him. But I honestly do believe that Glover's going to win this fight. He has been a money machine for me. Just love him, and maybe there's a little bias there. But I'm going to take Glover here.
All right, guys, it's time for hot takes. Anybody in chat, if you have a hot take you want to drop on us, do it now. We'll do this before we get out of here. Again, Joe is pulling up this handy-dandy parlay he usually throws out every week. I am going to say for my hot take, Shogun Hua goes out in a blaze of glory via second-round knockout. Anybody else got a hot take you want to drop?
Wait, I thought you were picking him.
Yeah, I am.
Wait, I thought you were picking him.
He goes out. He goes out.
Oh.
He goes out. He leaves on a high note. Second, Hua puts out Poteria in the second round.
All right.
Leaves.
I thought you meant like in a hail of gunfire.
Yeah, it's going to be a war. Shogun Hua, second round knockout. Please don't ever come back again. Please.
Okay, I'm going to go. This is the least sexy hot take I think I've ever given here, but it's actually pays pretty well. I like both dogs in the main and co-main, and it's at the current odds, you know, we're talking +350, which is, again, you know, maybe not very sexy, but like, give me +350 all day long. I mean, you know, if you got 200 laying around, you know, it's going to pay 902. You know, if you've got 250 lying around, it's going to pay 1127.50. And if you want to go all out and, you know, throw a nickel on it, you know, you got a nickel gets you back $2,255.
That's handsome.
Just did it right now. I just put a nickel on it.
Look at Joe. I like it. Chris, hot take?
Yes, my hot take also concerns Shogun Hua. I'm going to go off a little bit off the beaten track and say that this fight goes to decision.
All right. I'll accept that as a hot take for sure. The only one we have in chat, you guys are quiet in chat today. What's going on? Zero Miedo Moreno by body kick KO.
I love the specific ones. You don't get any extra points for that, but I do like.
But Figueiredo isn't Kai Kara France. Come on. By the way, that look for Moreno in that fight is a bad look before fighting Figgy again. If that Moreno shows up, Figueiredo smashes him. I think that was a bad night for Moreno. I think that was honestly the worst Moreno has looked and the best Kai Kara France has looked in a while.
Yeah.
And Moreno still got a finish. So if that version of Moreno shows up, I think it's a problem. I don't think he does. I think we get a better fight. I still like Figgy. That's it for this episode, guys. Make sure you go to rotowire.com/free, 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Fuck credit cards. We have one more.
Oh, wait, we got another.
One more.
Just, I like this one.
Johnny Walker. You know what? If I lose on Johnny Walker, I hope Paul Craig memes him into next century. I hope Paul Craig lands a Chris Barnett wheel kick.
Like, that would be how it would work, too. He has those head kicks. He's got them.
You know, it'd be Johnny Walker chasing him down and throwing a punch and bouncing off the cage and hitting himself in the face.
Yeah.
That's how Johnny Walker gets KO'd. All right, that's it for this episode of Fight IQ, guys. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. RotoWire MMA is where you got to go. Appreciate all the support. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.